About that, that's the first goal.
It's pretty cool.
That's Bill McDermott with the call on the goal by Brandon Barklage at like the 40-something minute,
right before the half. And for that effort and for the play the entire night, Brandon Barklage earned our first Luligan Player of the Game
bucket
beer bucket.
I don't think it'll be his last. To be honest, I mean, the guy's class.
He is.
I did hear he was disappointed there wasn't beer in said beer bucket.
We'll work on that for the next time and see if we can get a little.
You know what? Maybe if you get a win next time.
That would have been the best comeback. Beer is for winners, Brandon.
Speaking of beer, I need to open my beer. So
I hate these podcasts that we have where we all drive 30-40 minutes to get here and we just have nothing to talk about.
Yeah,
you know what we're gonna
there's that English sarcasm on? That we know and love.
What's going on?
A little bit of things going on.
How was
on.
Your weekend?
Oh, it was busy.
You know,
bit of DIY.
To be honest, it was a pretty good weekend for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Sunday I got some stuff done around the house and
mowed the lawn.
Yeah.
Put the fertilizer down.
Yeah. Well, first I got up at Mitch's house and I drove home because I spent the night in Fenton. I had too much fun on the Saturday. I think we all had a little bit of fun on Saturday.
Ava comes into our bedroom on Sunday morning. We're like, is Brad gone? Uh-huh. She was fully aware that Brad was in the house.
I freaked Jack out. Jack came down to play video games that morning. I said, you can come down. I'm getting up anyway. That's okay. And he walked back upstairs.
Oh, I think my kids are going to have to get used to that again.
Well, you know. On the occasional thing, like
a win,
the home opener. I was a little excited for the home opener.
I think we all were.
In case you don't know, we had a great day on Saturday.
We had an amazing day on
in
Saturday.
In case you don't know,
I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast was there.
It's really
I'm positive.
Evaluate your life as to why you're listening to this.
Yeah,
if you don't know.
That's a good point. Although there were people trying to get tickets at the last minute, as always, and we've been telling people for.
If only you had 9 months. You
to
know,
prepare
you
for it.
9 months to just sort this out.
Well, and ever since the pregame sellout, which I know the attendance was capped, so it didn't look sold out, but we've been telling people tickets are almost out. I mean, Pat Kelly kept telling me,
100
remind them again, remind them again, remind them again. And lo and behold, as soon as it was sold out, people were like, well, that's no fair. I can't go. Well,
that's what's called taking care of your business.
Exactly. I mean, I've got a ticket. My wife's got a ticket. I'm fine.
And
they weren't
expensive tickets. That's the other thing.
Well, let's go ahead and mention this right now before we go any further. We do have another game next Saturday,
tickets
are moving fast.
As
so,
they should be.
I mean, I think everybody that was there last week had a good time. So a lot of those single game tickets I know have converted to season tickets after that event. And I know a lot of them are going to be trying to buy single game tickets again. So if you want to go, if you missed out last time and you know, don't wait. Don't think you can show up to Soccer Park game day and buy tickets at the window. That's
not going to happen.
And I mean, it might, but there's no guarantee.
But right now, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It shouldn't because everything about Saturday was top notch. Every bit about it.
Yeah, the team put on it. I mean, not on the field. I'm talking just the presentation. We'll get to the on-the-field stuff. But the presentation, you know,
the environment.
Park looked great.
Couldn't have been better.
Typical issues when you're opening a new it's not a new facility, but this is a new venture coming into the facility. I mean, there were lines for the bathrooms. There were lines for the beer.
There was lines for the bathrooms at Wrigley Field.
Well, I mean, that's true. Nobody was peeing in
a
cup.
It's a new thing.
But but they're going to work that out. I mean, they're going to add more restrooms around the back by Section 8. They are going to put some lighting in back there. I know we had a lot of people complaining about it because after the sun dropped, it was pitch dark back there. ITAP is this was their first time manning that station, and they did run out of beer before the end of the game. Now they have a better idea of what.
I think that's the thing I'm most proud of you guys about.
we ran them out of beer.
That's what we do, though. This isn't the first time we've done.
We
this
take our victories where we can.
Everything facility wise was so. Why don't we just start at the beginning of the day?
Okay.
Tailgate.
We did have a tailgate party.
We had a fantastic tailgate. I want to make sure that we thank Mark Gardner, Eric Von Nita,
and their families.
Yes, and Jeremy. Just to keep it straight, Mark is the electrician. Jeremy, Eric is the cop.
Yeah,
Eric's the bald one. Evidently, there's confusion there, and
yes,
I think feelings are hurt.
Those guys had it set up, and all the people that brought beer and food. I mean, you know, we've always been a do-it-yourself kind of group. You know, in it together. I mean, if I've got a cooler, you don't have to ask to grab one of my beers. Well, this was that times 10.
Yes.
I mean, there were coolers up front, and people were like, where can I get a beer? I was like, any one of these coolers. She's like, well, who do I pay? Nobody. Just take a beer, you know.
Yes. I think I scared a person because I was being facetious and joking.
Yeah.
And they kind of got, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, I'm fucking with you.
And there was a little kid there, and the dad was like, any chance you guys got a water? I said, we got Capri Sun, we got soda, we got water. Not only were the beer covered, which you expect from this group, you know, there were actually some smart members of our group that brought things for non-drinkers, so we were covered.
And the food. Oh, my God.
Good food.
There was a ridiculous amount of pulled pork. There was evidently Andy made some sliders that went, like, in an instant.
Yeah.
And Mark, the greatest thing I heard from Mark and Eric was, we don't need any chips for next week.
Yeah.
Because so many people brought bags of chips that didn't even get opened. It was a fantastic setup in that respect.
They had a simple donation
box
set up, and it covered their costs. So, you know, it's not like we have to institute, okay, if you're going to eat, you're going to pay $5. We can trust people to
do the right thing,
and now they've got money to buy stuff for next week.
And
so
keep that train rolling forward.
That's right.
Kyle came bearing gifts. Kyle had boxes upon boxes of Brueligans, the freshest beer possible, I guess, for them. They literally finished it up last week. And since you can't sell beer without a license, we were offering it for a charitable donation.
That's right.
So a lot of people were grabbing those bottles of Brueligans very quickly, and that was going fast.
And we're gonna put that money towards some charity in the future. We've got two or three charitable arms going on at the same time. So we're trying to keep all that straight.
We raised a significant amount of money for the raffle for the jersey that our
I do want to explain that. Matt Bird went down to Tulsa with Sean O'Hara and
Landon,
I can't pronounce his last name.
Zirkelback.
And Brandon Barklage was kind enough to donate his jersey, and the whole team signed it, and they got the coach from Tulsa to sign it, and the three travelers signed it. We're raffling that off.
Random people in Tulsa.
We're raffling that off, and I know people had some questions about that. Keep those tickets. Don't throw those tickets away. They're all in a bucket in my house right now. We're going to sell tickets again at the next tailgate party, and then the following Monday we're going to do a podcast. We're going to draw a ticket, and we'll post it on Facebook and Twitter, the number, and you know, you'll have to bring your ticket back to claim your prize.
But it's an awesome prize. I mean,
game-worn USL jersey. I mean,
signed by
the entire team. The first win.
I mean,
it's got everything.
And it doesn't even have the sponsor on the front, so it's extra special.
Yeah,
it literally is one of a kind. That's why I actually wanted his shirt, because it didn't have the sponsor on it.
But, well, it was perfect because there was enough room for everybody to sign right there on the front.
That helps, too.
So it would be a nice thing to frame and hang up.
Thanks to Shannon and Kavita and anybody else that was helping with that
Amanda,
effort.
Yeah, they walked around selling the tickets.
So we'll be doing that again next. And we sold a lot of scarves and shirts. We had to place new orders.
Yeah, we were down to 30 scarves.
Wow.
So, and we when we ordered the scarves at the beginning of the season, we thought, well, this will last us at least through halfway through the season. They almost were out the first game.
They almost lasted to halfway through the tailgate.
Yeah, so we do have another batch ordered, but we do have 30 or so left. So if you still want one, you know, we've got enough, hopefully, for the next game, but if get not, there quick.
And if not, you can always put your money towards one of the ones that's coming. It'll be exactly the same, so not a big deal. We'll have more shirts.
Same thing with T-shirts. I ordered another batch of shirts from Ryan before the home opener, and we sold out of three sizes.
The blue ones with the
Fighting Chupacabra on the back.
The standard shirt.
Yeah.
The standard Luligan shirt.
And we will be doing some other shirts throughout the year, but that's the one we're selling right now. And I know there were people that wanted, especially the large, the extra large, and the double X we sold out of. So
that's amazing.
Yep.
I mean, because we had a lot of those. It wasn't like, oh, we had a few.
I ordered plenty for, you know, two or three games, and they're gone, you know. So
thank you to everybody that did buy one.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody that helped out in whatever way you did. I know we're probably not mentioning some people, and they may get butthurt, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, the tailgate
so
party was a phenomenal
success.
I
can't thank enough.
When I walked out at 10 o'clock when I finished the post-game thing, there was people hanging around that I'd never seen before. Literally just never seen before. And that's got to make you feel good. I mean,
literally half the people at the tailgate before we went in, had no idea who they were.
None at all.
Some of them, when they told me their names, I recognized it from Facebook or whatever, but had never personally met them. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of just new people there to check it out. And
then there was a lot of new people that came that saw what we were doing during the game and came to check us out afterwards. That was really cool.
Somebody mentioned, like, it didn't look very crowded on one side of the stands. Well, that's because those people moved over to our section. I mean, our section was overflowing. I couldn't get back up to where I'd, you know, initially camped out because it was just so crowded in there.
And that was the cool thing, too, is that it was huddled masses in the way of we want to be part of it. We don't want to be on the outside fringe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there was probably two sections worth
in that one section, right.
You know, while we were technically in two we were probably should have been in three sections.
Yeah.
But everybody just wanted to cram in and be part of the action.
Well, and it was good to see, like, when we first got there, Section 8 was standing, you know, bouncing, just singing, chanting. And then as the game went on, you saw Section 9 stood up and Section 10 stood up. And by the time the end of the game, that pretty much that whole side was standing and singing or chanting.
It goes back to also what you said to Jeremy in a text message, that the kids get it sometimes more than the adults.
Because
you looked along the sidelines and we'd be giving it large and the kids would be clapping along the sideline, or they'd be bobbing their head, or they'd be trying to.
There was a little blonde girl, she couldn't have been more than five, and she was screaming her little heart out, STL, STL. And it may have been Jake, I don't know who it was. I grabbed a scarf off of somebody's neck because I'd already given mine away, and I put it around this little girl, and it was like I'd knighted her, you know. I mean, eyes were wide.
Was that the end of the game?
Cute little girl, blonde headed girl, cute. And her dad was like, thank you so much. And, you know, I mean, that's how we'll win over the parents.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
But
even on the walk in, as we're walking in and we're lined up on that side field, we start, you know, the march slowly gets started, and all of a sudden there's like 5, 11, 10-year-old boys that just come running over.
Yeah.
And like just get into the middle of the group, and they start chanting too, and they're walking in with everybody. And it was really cool to see from the back where these little boys were just like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Run over.
Well, and I think once the parents realize, you know, I mean, yeah, it does get rowdy in our section, but it's not dangerous. Yeah. It's not, you know, kids are having fun. I mean, I didn't hear any complaints as far as, you know, parents telling their kids to stay away from us. I mean, they were all kind of curiously checking it out, and I think everybody had a good time. So.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. So we walk in. The march walk-in starts off great. It ends up dying down a little bit just because of the sheer volume. And that is something that we're working on with Jeremy. We'll come back to the things that we're kind of make better at the end here. But we walk in, and just seeing the players on both sides watching this long stream of people. There was a great picture that Kyle took where the stands are about a third full, and there's still a line going all the way down to the other goal. It's like, okay, we had a lot of people come in.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I was bringing up the rear because I have an injured leg because I'm old. But yeah, it was like, I was just like, kept looking. I was like, I don't think I'm going to get a spot in our section by the time I get there.
I gotta be honest, it concerns me.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have. You know, we've got too many people, but we're working on it, and we'll tell them we need section 8 and 9.
We do.
And 10.
And 10. So the drummers, we'll start with the drummers, did an amazing job of keeping everything going.
Yeah, our A-line wasn't there, or part of our A-line wasn't there. The Rat Rod Kings had a gig that night. So they deputized some guys who stepped in, didn't miss a beat.
Did wonderful.
It was good. Even Jim and Mrs. Jim, they were right there.
Yeah, Jim and Laura, yeah.
They were right in there. I mean, it was just perfect. They kept it going, kept the volume right. Cannot thank our capos enough. I mean, the three of them, Liz, Lennon, and Jason, were just on top of it the entire game.
Yep.
I seriously expect Liz to be completely dead on Sunday morning because she was just her normal little ball of hate of bouncing around and just going. She had a great moment with a little girl that was crying where I tossed her a scarf and made sure it was. They did a fantastic job up front leading the charge, kept everybody going. And at one point, Jack had to run back to his car for batteries for the megaphone. He said he could hear us clear as day out on the parking lot.
Yeah, Adam got there late. He met us at the park, but he'd missed the march. And he said as he was getting out of his car parking, he could hear us, you know, from the – he parked kind of down by where the tailgate was. And so, I mean, that's quite a ways away, and he could hear us chanting, you know. So that's impressive.
That's a good sign. That's a real good sign. And then the game starts.
Well, you missed something, which –
Oh, our national anthem?
No.
The scarves.
The thing that everybody else missed.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
A week of my life down the drain.
Oh, it looked good. It looked good, Brad.
You just couldn't see it from the angle.
Brad's TiVo looked fantastic. Unfortunately, we needed a little bit sharper angle than we had. That's what happens, unfortunately. And, you know, some things fall to the wayside and Brad's feelings are hurt.
No, my feelings aren't hurt. It's just like I could have spent a lot more time drinking rather than in my basement scrawling and painting on a banner.
Well, we'll use it again. It's okay.
That's I told Jeremy, I have to throw it away now. He goes, well, nobody saw it. You could use it again. I don't know if that helps or hurts, Jeremy. Thanks.
Did the St. Louis Lions have a steeper bleachers?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we didn't do anything quite that big with the Lions. Yeah, so
I think it'd take up a third of their stands, too. Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. I had to throw that in there.
I know. I was going to avoid it for you. I was going to try not to
bring
it up.
On the flip side of the coin, though, around the same time, y'all were doing the whole scarves up thing, and that looked impressive because I was on the other side of the field.
The quick picture you took of that, I mean, it was a nice picture. I mean, all the scarves and...
Looked good. And Zach told me, he's like, you guys look impressive.
You know, oh, Zach, go to...
Yes, yeah. So it did look good. And I understand that you just couldn't see the TiVo because of the angle. But, you know, it's another trial and error kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and they are constructing an actual
pulley system
where we can just bring it up behind the group, you know, and it'll be flat. So that'll be good. So the next time I do one, if I ever do one.
Oh, you're going to do another one.
No, not by myself. I'm going to get help next time.
Yes. I don't want to listen to you again next time. I don't get paid enough to be that kind of wrangling for Brad. But so the game gets going, and great energy to start.
You know, like a lot of games, there's a bit of caginess, you know, teams feeling each other out. But after
about 10-15 minutes to just find our feet, I think.
Yep.
And then we had a lot of good chances in that first half. I think
it was 9-1.
Well, there you go.
Mean, Jesus, I didn't know it was that high.
9-1.
Yeah, we were in their half, you know, the offensive sector. For a good portion of the time.
I think, I know it's a cliche, but halftime came at the wrong time for us. If halftime would have been 10 minutes later than it was, we probably could have gone in at 2-3-0 up.
Yeah, but we had a little bit of momentum. And
we were in the ascendancy.
Yeah.
That's why he's on 550 after the game, ladies
Swallow
and gentlemen.
Swallow the thesaurus.
Amazing goal by Brandon Barklage. Just every position, you know, everybody played that ball correctly. It was perfect. He did run over to the other side, so we'll let it go this time.
It's one of those goals where nine times out of ten, the defender will boot it away, but he took a chance that it wasn't, and he was the right place, right time to knock it in.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, a super golazo or anything fancy. It was just him being where he needed to be and finishing it, not getting too cute. I mean, that's the biggest problem when you're in that position. Some guys try to blast it and put it over or put it off wide. He just did his business, finished it like he should have.
I think that's Brandon Barkley.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I mean, he's
not a too cute player. He just does what he needs to do.
And he's not trying to impress anybody. He's doing his job, and that's what we need.
So we go in at halftime, 1-0 up. The smoke's all a-billowing, and everyone's chanting and happy, and it looks great. You know, happy times.
This is where it gets hard, because when we were going the other way, you don't see a lot of what's at the other end.
Yeah, I mean, well, and we'll get to that in the questions. You know, somebody asked a specific question about a certain substitute, and it's like, it's hard for me to judge because I'm not seeing what the coach sees. I'm not, you know, I don't have the view of the overall field, and, you know, some guy may look fine, but he may have run by the coach 10 minutes earlier and said, I'm gassed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's hard to tell.
To be honest, with five substitutes on each side anyway, it's hard to tell what's going on and who's coming on and who's coming off to begin with.
And there was a thread on Reddit where they said, oh, Duty looked really good. And he was on the other side of the field most of the game.
Right.
He couldn't really see.
He was playing it out of the back, or, you know, the back midfield. And, you know, we didn't see exactly those passes coming. We saw the next play. And then when it turned around the other way, I mean, second half, it was more on our end than their end, to be honest. I mean, Pittsburgh held their own in that second half, and
they deserved
the point.
Shots were more even. It was six shots apiece in the second half, so they regrouped at halftime, and it was a lot more even. And they
took their chance, and they scored.
McDermott said in the commentary, he said it was inevitable they scored. We could all see it coming.
Yeah. Sure, you know? And we did on the sidelines too as well. And truly, the goal wasn't even the result of the hard play. It was a couple miss hits, with a bad spin and a bad bounce. And
kind of reminded me of the game goals we gave up in Louisville. Like, you could see them coming. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if we'd have taken care of business a little better, it wouldn't have happened. But fair play to Pittsburgh. They got their chance and they took it. And I think probably in the end, a draw was a fair result on the night.
Not what you want.
No. And we did have opportunities to win the game.
Yeah,
but
Jamil, again, I mean, even after the Tulsa game, he hits the post. He had a couple of opportunities last on Saturday to put the game to bed.
I'm still high on the kid. I think it'll come.
Oh, no, absolutely. He's a grafter. I mean, the kid's can run all day. I something needs to fall for him. That's what I'm saying.
And I think that's the problem, is that if something doesn't fall, he's going to get snake bit.
I don't want him to get down on himself.
Right.
I'm not going that way. Yeah.
But it's kind of like Gall. Early on, Gall was hitting every post he could find. Mm-hmm. You know, he finally got one to go. And I mean, I'm not saying he's lighting the world on fire now, but that helps. That
you play with a different confidence.
That relieves that snake bit feeling or whatever you have. So, you know, I still think Jamil's young enough, resilient enough where he's still going for it. If we see him retreat into his shell a little bit and quit taking those shots, that's when you worry, I think.
But if we'd have put one away towards the end of the first half, another one of the chances we had, it would have been a totally different story.
Well, and Jamil had a shot early in the second half, too, that I can't remember exactly what happened, but it had a good scoring opportunity. And again, if we'd got that goal early in the second half, maybe it spurs us on. Giving up that goal for the tie, I was just happy we hung on. You know.
Right, and that's where we're at. And it was the home opener. I think everyone was relieved just to get it out of the way. I mean, I think it was.
Dale said that in the post game match. I mean, part of him was just happy to get it out of the way. I mean, obviously you want to win, obviously, you know. But, okay, now we can get down to business. We don't have to worry about the butterflies of the home opener.
Uh-huh.
But we've got a huge test next week.
They are a good team.
Rochester Rhinos, I mean, perennial, you know. League.
In the final a couple of years ago.
And yeah, they're a good team, and they've got a history, and so it's not going to be easy.
And I don't think there are a lot of easy games in this, conference. I think that's part of the problem. I don't think the Eastern Conference has a lot of walkovers. And that's, I don't want to say it's concerning, because you want good competition.
We don't know a lot with the two teams yet, what their goal is or what their strategy is. I mean, we know Red Bulls will drop a full for MLS team on you if
did
they
you
want.
Did you see them yesterday?
I didn't see it.
They got smacked at home by Wilmington.
Well, there you go.
I mean,
so anything can happen.
You understand why they dropped 11 players down there, because the regular team's garbage. Because Wilmington, I don't really rate them at all. I don't think they're going to be much
crap.
Rochester, though, they beat Montreal this weekend handily. Montreal are a academy team. They're just using USL, I think, to develop players.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to light the world on fire. I think Rochester have played two gimme games, so to speak, but they did beat Pittsburgh, a team that we had trouble with.
Yeah.
So, and they beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, so that's nothing to be sniffed at.
And, I mean, you mentioned this before we started recording. The good thing is, for all you fans out there, what you can do on Thursday
is get the lowdown.
Get the Rochester Rhinos will be playing our nemesis, the Louisville Sluggers. And
the Tinky Winkies and the Barneys.
Yeah, the purple team. But we'll be able to watch that on USL's YouTube channel for free. So you can hopefully, you know, see what to look for in that Rochester game. And it's going to be a hard one. It's like, I want them to get beat up. I want them to get tired out because they have a short turnaround to face us then on Saturday.
I want them to beat Louisville.
But I need them to beat Louisville, too, yeah.
I want them to beat Louisville.
So I want them to give it everything they've got to beat Louisville and just be tired as hell when they come in
knock
here on
down,
Saturday.
Drag out.
I want three send-ins off. so they're also suspended.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. Just, you know, get them worn out. And not only that, but they're going to be on the road. You know, you got to figure they're going into Louisville, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, they'll be on the road playing here Saturday. I mean, that wears on a team, you know. So
Louisville haven't played since SIUE. So they haven't played a competitive game in.
Yeah, they had a long
weeks.
Break, right?
Yeah,
and that's going to happen sometimes this year with the way the geography of these conferences is. Sometimes you're going to have to double up. I mean, it's not as bad as it was last year. The guys who were in USL last year always talked about how the awful Wednesday, Saturday, or Thursday, Saturday games that they would do. Now, at least with the conferences, there's less of that. But, yeah, I mean, we could catch Rochester a little tired, a little flat-footed, which would be great for us.
It's whatever it takes. I want us to win. We're going to go anyway. We've got season tickets. We're going to go anyway. But the casual fan out there needs a win.
Keep the momentum going. Everything went great. It was a draw, but everything went great as far as a fan experience last Saturday. I don't think you could have been there and not enjoyed yourself. And, you know, we've had people, you know, messaging us on Facebook, oh my God, that was, you know, I didn't realize soccer games were that fun and, you know, all that good stuff. So
there was a conversation on KPNT this morning where they were talking about that.
Yeah, the Rizzuto morning show was at the game, and Moon is a big soccer fan. He's the lead singer of Greek Fire and plays guitar for Story of the Year, or maybe I got those switched around. I don't know. But he's a big soccer fan anyway, and he was giving praise to the Lilligans on the morning radio show, saying that was great. I want to go back. I want to, you know, sit with those guys.
Yeah. That was kind of the nice moment for me here in that clip where it was like he wanted to be with us. He didn't want to be in the VIP section.
Yeah.
Although he did get his picture taken with Tarasenko.
Yeah, I was going to say we had a few more VIPs at the game.
I was a little disappointed we couldn't get them over to get their photo with a Lilligan scarf. But
the thing is, though, if they came over to us, they'd be mobbed.
Yeah.
But I also think if they knew that they could just come over and stand in our corner and be a fan and not get mobbed, they'd probably do it.
Well, I think the thing is that they need to come back with a giant cup to drink out of.
That would be fun.
Then that'd be okay.
But, you know, that was another fun thing. I posted that link. I mean, I don't know if it was in the Post-Dispatch or where it was, about the Blues coming out to the game. And somebody was like, oh, the Tarasenko chant makes sense now. Because we were chanting, you know, Tarasenko. The guy's like, what the hell are these idiots chanting that for? No, he was across the field. We were trying to get his attention, you know. There was that chant, but I think everybody's favorite chant was after Pittsburgh scored, we chanted, "Yes, but you still live in Pittsburgh." And, you know, even the casual fans were laughing and joining in on that one. So that was good.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the great things about this group is that we can have our standard chants. We can come up with something on the fly that works well and isn't, you know, unnecessarily rude or obnoxious.
Yeah, it's just funny.
Just the good-natured, having a good time kind of stuff. And I doubt anybody had a bad time that was there. If they did, they probably need some sort of mental evaluation.
All right, so I just got a reply back from Brendan Doherty. He's the Reckless Challenge Rochester correspondent, and he said that we have to look after for Tony Walls in the midfield, and he scored a cracking free kick against Pittsburgh last week, and a guy called Christian Valeski. He had a dozen chances in the first couple of games, and he scored two on Saturday. So hopefully those will be the guys that get red carded against
in Louisville. Yeah,
but after a hat trick, they've scored. So those are the guys. Those are the guys that we need to watch out for.
Well, there
they're
you
both
go.
Going to have a hat trick. Is that what you're
Tony Walls and Christian Valeski.
Our relationship with Reckless Challenge paying off. Matt just texts the guy, and we instantly find out the guys to watch.
Yep. So thank you, Brendan Doherty, for that. All right.
We're on a roll.
A couple other things I wanted to mention. The attendance. There have been some questions on Twitter. It's listed on the Wikipedia page that Soccer Park's capacity is 6,200. It's now, we sold out at 5,200. And the reason that is with the construction that went on, they added seat backs to that main stand and basically widened all the seats there in the middle. So it's taken away some of the capacity. And they're still doing some construction. So I don't know what the final capacity is going to end up being, but 5,200 was a sellout. I mean, if you looked in the stands, like I said, the park looked full except for as the game went on, our section got squeezed in a little tighter because people were moving over. But Kavanaugh was on the radio this week, I forget, with Martin Kilcoyne, and was saying, look, the plans are in place depending on what we need. So they're evaluating these games that people are going to and the demand for tickets. He said, you know, if the demand is there, they could logistically do 9,000, you know. He said, but we don't want to build 9,000 if we don't need 9,000. So they're evaluating exactly how many seats they need to put in. But right now it's 5,200.
Well, it's nice that we have that flexibility.
Yeah, and it also amazes me that after one game that is even a conversation.
Yeah, well, and he said there are plans for 6,000, there are plans for 7,000, 8,000, 9,000. And, I mean, we can see they can fill in that back gap between Section 20 and the main stand.
Yeah.
Ours is a little different because of the scoreboard there, but they could put bleachers behind the main goal.
Or on the other side.
Or on the other side, right. So, you know, people were chirping on Facebook. Well, it's, you know, not really a sellout. No, it is. 5,200 is what the park holds right now.
That's how many tickets they released.
Right.
It was nice to hear Pittsburgh use their full allotment.
Yeah, Pittsburgh used 54 or something like that. Yeah. So that was good. I assume that was friends and family of the players. I didn't see any of the Steel Army or the Pittsburgh supporters. Uh-huh. And that's a long trip. That's
it's
a 10-hour drive. So if they were there, I wish they would have come and said hi during the tailgate, but I have to think it was probably friends and family of the players.
And speaking of Jim Kavanaugh, I do want to thank him and Tom Strunk for coming down. They came down to the tailgate.
Yeah.
And when we were kind of getting all organized, they were coming down, and Kavanaugh wanted the megaphone, and he wanted to thank everybody and make sure that they heard his thanks.
Yeah.
And again, this is something that we don't get if we go to MLS. Oh,
absolutely.
You don't get, you know...
No, the owner was standing in the parking lot drinking a beer.
Yeah.
When I was, like I said, at the back of that line. So as everybody went by, he's like, hey. And I was like, really? They can't get you a better spot than halfway back in the parking lot with a can of beer? You know? And he's like, this is where I want to be.
It still amazes me. Like, Jeremy texts you and he goes, you know, I just want to say thanks for everything. And you're like, hang on a minute, dude. You've put together the best football team in this city in 20 years, and you're thanking us?
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up.
Yeah. You
know, no, it does, because that's the way this whole thing...
Well,
we are that too, yeah. No, but that's the way they've done this from the get-go.
I know.
It's the encouraging of everybody to take part, and shit, we couldn't ask for anything better. We really couldn't. And that was great, too, is, you know, to kind of jump here a little bit. Jeremy sent us a message to post to the Hooligan faithful. Mm-hmm. And that was, he took the time to write something nice, and the outpouring of love that he got back from that was equally great from us. But again, you don't get this kind of response from, you know, Alexi Lawless or anybody else. This is ours. This is truly ours. And I hope people understand that after that game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody had any complaints. I mean, if you did, then, you know, I don't know what you're looking for.
Exactly. Because,
there's some people that are just never happy. You know, maybe that's it. But everybody I've talked to, I mean, total strangers were, you know, have been messaging me, I mean, through the Hooligan page, and it's like, oh, I had so much fun, you know, what do I have to do to be a member? You know, can I just sit by you guys? Yeah, come on. You know, you don't have to do anything. Just show up. And, you know, one guy was like, I didn't know. I went to the game and I called, you know, Monday morning bright and early and bought my season tickets. You know, I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody matters.
So, I mean, we're doing something right. If people are liking us and buying season tickets and wanting to sit by us.
It's because we're not frauds. We've been doing this since day one. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've put the time and energy to do it right. Everybody's done their part. You know, this isn't, we're not some fly-by-night carpetbaggers that come in and expect things to be that way.
I said that to Peter Crenn on Saturday. I said, not bad for a bunch of drunk old guys, eh?
Yeah.
You know, and his eyes were all wide. He was like, this is the best day of my life.
But again, that's what you want to hear from people.
Absolutely.
You want to hear that they were as happy and as excited as we were.
I sometimes worry, like my wife, Erica, you know, I sometimes worry that I drag her to these things and she kind of resents me for it, but she was stood there on the bleachers doing a little SDL chant and clapping away, so, you know.
Well, we did need a medical professional just in case, so,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
No, it was a great night. I think some people had some concerns going in, you know, what would these crazy people do? And I think we acquitted ourselves quite well. I think everybody saw that we weren't, you know, there to have trouble. We were there to have fun, and,
yeah.
You know, Jeremy said everything went great from his perspective, you know, didn't have any problems, nobody's given any complaints or anything, so that's all we can ask for, and, you know, keep it up.
In a non-GW, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we did exactly what we set out to do for this first game.
Yeah, so we just need to grow, you know, get more people in that corner, get louder, get the rest of the stands. I mean, that was one thing. Jeremy said they want some of the basic chants printed out so they can put into the program, or at least have somebody to have them, because people on the other side of the stands did want to join in, but they couldn't quite make out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like when you're watching a soccer game on TV, you can hear the chanting, but you don't know exactly what they're saying. So we're going to get some sheets printed up and hand it out over the other side. Maybe have somebody, you know, we'd talked about having Liz run over to the other side when we do a call and response chant to lead, you know, the other side of the stand. So the fact that they're interested and they want to join in, that's all we can ask for. That's, you know.
I'm also amazed at the reaction league-wide from what we did. We seem to be very well received from USL in general.
We do get a lot of praise from the league. And Nicholas Murray interviewed Mitch and I last week about the return of soccer.
Great article. Fantastic article.
I mean, just because you and I are in it.
Well, of course.
But no, I mean, talk to Kavanaugh. But, you know, I mean, we do get a lot of praise in the league.
We deserve it. You know.
And I mean, the Coopers, our arch rivals, they're doing good work. You know, they get a lot of mentions. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the league wants this. The league wants a vibrant supporters culture. They want rivalries. They want us doing things. They want us making TIFOs. They want us chanting. They want us, you know,
that's something that Edward said on Saturday. He said that the idea is for USL to 3 conferences, 40 or so teams in markets with a viable rivalries, you know, like your Tulsas and your Louisville's,
right,
and us, and, you know, a couple more around the Midwest. He said you can't be doing bus journeys of 10, 12 hours every week.
Right.
He said you geographically they need more teams in these areas. So that
I mean, think about it. If just out of the blue, if I told you, okay, we're going to go to a soccer game, it's 2 expansion teams, you're thinking, really? Why? Why would I go to that? But the King's Cup game was one of their games to watch the first week of the season. Neither team had played a competitive match. I mean, preseason games, but nothing for official. Real. And again, we lost 2-0. Full credit. You know, they took the points. But it was a good match to watch. It was there was some passion in the crowd. There was excitement. There was back and forth between us and the Coopers. And that's good for the league. I mean,
and at the end of the day, we all went and had beers together. So it showed wasn't an animosity.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't.
It's not hostile.
No,
it's,
and they're planning on coming here. And, I mean, we're going to have them at our tailgate. And we'll have fun. And, I mean, we'll jaw at each other for 90 minutes. And then after the game's over, we'll go back out in the parking lot and have a few more beers.
It couldn't be better. It really couldn't.
No, the league wants that. The league needs that. And, you know, like you said, the kids get it. We're bringing younger fans into the game. I mean, not that we're young. We're all, you know, past the prime demographic.
Don't tell me that when I'm drinking.
Yeah. Okay.
That's when I think I'm still 22.
Exactly. But, no, it's good for the league. And, no, I've been majorly impressed. I mean, today they put up a social media roundup.
That was nice,
and,
wasn't it?
And really lots of name drops of us, lots of pictures of us, you know, as this is what a glimpse of what the game at St. Louis was, and it was a lot about us. So, I mean,
St. Louis looked good. I mean, even I said it last week after the U.S. women's game, St. Louis looked good. But on a local soccer level, Saturday, it was excellent.
No, it was a nice event. I mean, all the networks had some coverage, which is what we need. We need that mainstream media.
Post-Dispatch had a story
and a gallery. I mean, so, yeah, that's what we want. We need it. We need to make it the event to go to, the thing to do on a Saturday night. And we're running into some tough competition now. The Blues are in the playoffs, going to go all the way to the Stanley Cup. So we're going to be fighting against them for ratings and for, you know, dollars. The Cardinals are starting up. They had their home opener today. And, I mean, St. Louis is a baseball town. I'm not a particularly big baseball fan, but God love them. The Cardinals draw huge crowds every year, so we're competing with that on Saturday evening. So we've got to keep making it a fun place to come out to and giving them a reason to choose St. Louis FC on a Saturday night.
Well, if you want to go and have a golf clap, go watch the Cardinals.
Well, no, I mean,
I know.
No, and I mean, there's a place for both. I mean, there's room for both, definitely. But
and it does help though when these media places post these things, go out and like them on Facebook or share them so they get the page hits, because a lot of these, you know, KTVI airs the segment on Saturday Night News. That's the last they have of it unless it's online.
Right.
If you missed it, there's no way of them counting that. But if you share that link out, every bit of that helps the thing grow too as well. It's no different than us asking you to share and retweet our stuff. Do the same for theirs. Get them more eyeballs on it, and that makes them want to cover it more.
I actually emailed Joe Lyons and thanked him for the article in the Post-Dispatch because I think he needs to know that it was appreciated.
People are reading it. Yeah. It's and his editors need to know.
Yes, absolutely.
You know that we like that. So yeah, click the when you go to the website. To read the article, click like or click tweet or whatever, you know, from that article and let them know or mention them on Twitter or whatever. Same thing we do with our sponsors. I mean, again, let's give a big shout out to Madrinas.
Holy cow.
They've
showed
been
to up. More soccer games recently than me.
they show up. They always bring plenty of free coffee for us. Great guys. I mean, they love the game. They have fun at the games, but they love us, and they love when we tweet their stuff. Same thing goes for ITAP. Same thing goes for Mission Taco. Smugglers now is doing some stuff, and they're going to be showing the games too, even though we'll be doing our watch parties at ITAP. It's great that other places around the city will be streaming the away games part of the pub-to-pitch program, all these projects that the sponsors are working on. Please support the sponsors because – you know, them doing things like pub to pitch makes it possible for people to show up. So support our sponsors.
Because if we support our sponsors now, the smaller ones, and if they have growth because of it, the bigger companies out there will take notice and they'll want to get involved.
Well, definitely. And I mean, Second Shift is not an official sponsor of the team, but they contributed heavily to our tailgate. So, you know, when Kyle said, you know, it's going to be hitting this week, the Brueligan's out at the local stores, run out and grab it. And if you're at a store and they don't have Brueligan's, buy something else from Second Shift,
and ask for it.
Yeah, ask for Brueligans, but, you know, support them in general. And if you do find it, take a picture of it and tag Second Shift Brewery, tag St. Luligans.
Yeah.
You know, give them some love on social media because, honestly, you know, Kyle worked with them. He does all of the artwork for their labels. And Brueligans was just sort of a one-off. They were doing him a favor because of all the stuff he's done for them. And it took off. They didn't know we would buy it in the quantities we did. And not just us. Some of the local beer groups on Facebook and things, you know, beer aficionados were like, this is a really good, you know.
They took it down to, were they in
Nashville?
Nashville.
Yeah, there was some beer fest, and it won some stuff. And
yeah, evidently it was really well received down there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a nice session IPA. I mean,
I don't like Second IPAs, Shift, and I love it.
Second Shift does IPAs really good. They do hit you over the head IPAs, which Mitch doesn't like, that I love. But again, the guy knows how to do IPAs, and this is a nice low-alcohol IPA, and it's found a way into their regular lineup now because we bought it and because other people heard about it and liked it. So, I mean,
it got ridiculous reviews on the Beer Advocate.
Right.
And,
so,
and not from us.
So, yeah, that's good news. And, I mean, it has a little bit to do with us. It has a little bit to do with Kyle. Has a lot to do with Second Shift. And, you know, thankful to them for making it happen and for trusting in Kyle and trusting in us. And glad it's going to be a regular now because it's just a good beer. And it has our logo on it.
And it's beer.
And it's beer.
Let's be honest, it's beer.
Mm-hmm. Not shy about that.
So let's do this all again Saturday. That's really what it comes down to.
We're going
to
do it Saturday. Again, the tailgate will start at 5:30. Come in, head to the very back of the parking lot. We'll have, you know, food and drink or bring your own. There's supposed to be food trucks this week. I haven't been confirmed, but that's supposed to be part of the plan. Hopefully Mission Taco's food truck will be there because I love some Mission Taco.
I like that place.
It's good stuff. I mean, it's simple and good, you know.
Carne asada steak fries.
Mm-mm. Oh, my God. So Biondo had those when I was at ITAP the other night.
Yeah.
And those things just looked like pure heaven.
Well, and that's the other thing. I can't wait for our away watch parties because we'll be doing them at ITAP. Who will have Brueligans on tap
with Mission Taco?
And Mission Taco is connected. All you got to do is walk over there, place your order. They'll bring the tacos to you at ITAP, so we can sit there and watch our soccer team on TV and support
at our bar.
At our bar, support two sponsors for the team and a sponsor for the Luligans with Second Shift. I mean, I can think of nothing better. Unless they drove me home and tucked me into bed after it, you know? Which, I mean, hey, Uber? Can I get an Uber driver up in here? Luligan sponsored by Uber.
Well,
we can't drive.
We'll need Bed Bath & Beyond for the sheets for the bed, too, as well.
So, really, I mean, everything's looking great for us. I mean, I'm so happy we've got another game. I mean, you know, 7 days after our first joyous experience, we get to do it all again. But I'm also looking forward to an away game to get some Mission Taco and sit on some couches. And
the thing is, the first away game is now the 25th, and I'm actually planning on going to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, oh yeah, some of us might be making that trip too. So
I've got two spare seats in my car, guys.
Well, that takes care of one of us.
Yeah.
Last time we were on a road trip, I fell asleep on Mitch on the way home. I don't think he'll do that again.
No, we can, as long as there's some sort of barricade to keep you in one chair and not on two.
Those were tiny, tiny bus seats.
No, you're a sprawler, I've learned.
Well, that's true.
So
we'll be doing another podcast next week after the Rochester game. We'll announce the winner of the Barklage jersey. We'll have more stuff to talk about. We'll have another great experience to relay. But don't count on us to tell you how great it is.
It's better to be there and know what we're talking about.
Please, come out, say hi. I mean, the podcast crew will be at the tailgate. We'll sign autographs. Bird's used to it now. He's been signing jerseys and stuff. So, you better get there early if you want to see Bird, because he's got to go up into the booth and do his other job with KTRS Radio on the Dobbs Tire and Auto pregame show.
I'm glad someone's promoting it.
You do a great job on that show, Matt. You did a special show, what was it, Friday night?
Friday night, yeah. We interviewed Jeremy Dale, Ambo, Pace, and Brandon.
Yeah.
So I
really good show. I mean, no secret that, you know, you had the best questions and we actually knew what you were talking about with the team. You know, credit to the guys. They're still learning the game. Mm-hmm. But, no, you being on that show is great, not just because you mentioned the Luligans every chance you get, but you're bringing a good fan's voice to the podcast or to the radio show. And Zach. Zach wasn't on Friday night, but Zach does the pre-games with you.
Yeah.
Both of you do a good job on that.
We have to talk about the prospect of playing Des Moines or Madison.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The U.S. Open Cup draw has come out since the last time we talked.
May 20th, we'll be playing whoever wins in the...
And we'll be playing here. They have to come to us, which is even better.
And that is...
even better, but you know what? Louisville, I've got to go to either Chicago or Lansing, and I was like, that'd be a nice little away trip. But it'd be the middle of the week, I think.
Well, if we win this game, then there should be an away game fairly close to our region. They try to group it regionally.
Just the draw, isn't it? Just whoever comes out
first,
right?
But they try to orchestrate it a little bit. So yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm thinking Indy 11. That'd be a nice road trip.
Did you see Tulsa got drew away in Massachusetts?
Oh, Jesus.
That's rough.
Sorry,
Roustabouts. That's a long trip.
Oh, poor guys.
You know, don't take your wrench.
Yeah. But no, that's just so you know, I mentioned this on Facebook, but your bonus ticket, if you bought season tickets, there's 14 league games and there's one that was called a bonus ticket or an extra game or whatever. That is for the May 20th USL Pro match or US Open match that we're hosting. So again, we'll be playing either the Madison Fire or the Des Moines Menace.
And I hope it's the Des Moines Menace. I want them so bad.
Those of you who've been with us for a few years and have been following the Lions, we played the Des Moines Menace every year, there and home. And there's no love lost between the St. Luligans and the Des Moines Menace. So
they
probably looked on that and said, oh, shit, are those crazy motherfuckers supporting STLFC? You know, so they won't enjoy coming here. And we could make their lives.
But
hell.
You know what? They will enjoy coming here because it's big time for them.
Oh yeah, no.
Oh yeah, no.
No, and for all the shit we give them, again, they were another one of those teams that liked having fans be loud. Because when we made the road trip to Des Moines a couple years ago, 3-4 years ago, their supporters group had like 12 people in it.
I think we brought 12 people.
Yeah, you know, there were like 12 guys stuffed in two minivans that went to see. You know, and it was just. They had like a red flag. That's all they had, you know.
Uh-huh.
So,
but I mean, St. Louis has got a fantastic tradition in this competition. We've had nine sides in this competition that have won it in the past. Nine St. Louis teams have won national championships in the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, if you either follow us or you follow the U.S. Open Cup on Twitter, every once in a while they'll tweet us with on this day in history, you know, and it's some St. Louis team, you know,
like
won.
Simpkins
or Cutis or Sticks Baron Fuller. Yeah, I mean, all of these great teams of the past. So you and I talked about this a little bit, Matt. The Philadelphia Union, one of their third kits was the Bethlehem Steel kit.
Correct.
And it's a great looking kit. I mean, it's just black with you know, kind of a pinstripe and the Bethlehem Steel logo, and they would wear that when they would play certain U.S. Open Cup matches. And it's like, that's such a nice throwback, because Bethlehem Steel, along with those St. Louis teams that we mentioned, one of the great names in the history of U.S. soccer.
From what I gathered from Jeremy, he was saying that they're going to introduce a third shirt next year.
I don't expect it now, but I mean, that would just be a nice, classy move, you know, to honor one of those old teams.
That'd be really cool. I'd love that.
So, I don't know. But that's, yeah, I'm really looking forward to U.S. Open Cup's almost.
It's so underserved. It could be such a bet. Not a better competition, but a more promoted competition.
It's so horrible.
It's the third oldest football competition in the world.
And people don't understand. It's, I mean, it is the FA Cup. It's, you know, it's that same kind of thing where, I mean, you had the, was it Cal United or Cal FC, yeah, whatever they were a few years ago. Ronaldo was coaching them. They were a third or fourth division team. You know, I love that. And that's the magic of the FA Cup when we watch United make a trip to
Stevenage.
Yeah, you know, and it's a 5,000-seat stadium and there's holes in the pitch. And I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, not so beautiful for Rooney because he's going to break an ankle or something. But, I mean, that's what this competition could be.
But it's also, yeah, it's soccer in its purest form. Yeah.
Well, and
the MLS teams, much like the Premiership teams, they don't always send out their best team until it gets towards the end. Mm-hmm. So you do have these opportunities for a Des Moines Menace to beat the LA Galaxy in the third round or something crazy, you know.
And it went through so many dark years with the NASL and before the MLS really got rolling around. And I think that hurt her, but now's the time for people to really get behind it because
and
of the...
Certain MLS teams do take it seriously. I mean, the Sounders have put some money into it. They've given it an effort. Kansas City's won it a couple times. Chicago's won it a couple times.
Rochester won it.
Within
the last 10 years.
Yeah,
right?
No, Rochester has been in two finals in the last, 10 years. I mean, they should promote it more. I wish they promoted it more. I know why they don't, because, Bruce Arena's flat out said, I don't have the roster to compete in three competitions, mm-hmm. You know. I understand that.
But if USL go to 40 teams... And the NASL, let's say they manage to squeak another couple of teams into that league, that's going to be 60 teams, say, that genuinely are interested in this competition.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fans taking notice of this.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I mean, you get teams like, was it Philadelphia? No, it was DC, the year that they had an abysmal year in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, we're going to throw everything at the U.S. Open Cup because that's a trophy we can win. And you see that, I mean, Arsenal did it last year, you know. It'd been so long without silverware, and they, you know, obviously aren't going to win the league because we strive for fourth.
No, but also, it is the kind of competition that a Rochester can win,
yeah.
A Wigan can win.
And when those teams get there, you cheer for them, you know. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the U.S. Open Cup.
And that's your bonus game, guys. Let's hope there's more bonus games because everyone likes extra football.
And not only that, but you get to see teams that you won't normally get to see.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, yeah, today it's Des Moines Menace. Maybe tomorrow it may be
Indy 11 or Jacksonville or, yeah.
You know, San Antonio.
An away day in Jacksonville.
And then you get past that, then you're at MLS.
Then
back with AC St. Louis, they played the Galaxy. And, I mean, Galaxy didn't throw out their best team, but they were playing at, you know, then it was the Home Depot Center.
Did we even throw out a team? Didn't a couple of them stay in the hotel?
Yeah, we had seven guys, but no, and they were holding their own for a while. I mean, I remember listening to it on, it was an audio stream on the internet.
Yeah.
This was before video streaming and, you know, just being like, oh, we might win this. And then we didn't, but you know, it was like
it's any given Sunday.
We're playing the LA Galaxy, home of Landon Donovan, and I mean that was before Beckham even, but it was still Donovan, it was still MLS champion LA Galaxy, and it was cool. So I mean now in the days of streaming, hopefully we can catch a video stream of something like that. Or go.
I think it would be easier for me to sell Tampa Bay Rowdies away. I think I could sell that to
Eric.
That would be fantastic.
I want to go to Tampa Bay for a couple of days.
Well, that's what we joked about before they divided it up into conferences. My wife's always wanted to go to, you know, Vancouver. Uh-huh. I was like, you know, how about me, Mitch, you and Aaron, you know, Matt and Erica, we all take a nice little weekend vacation to Vancouver and Saturday night be like, well, it's 7 o'clock. we're going to go.
I just need 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Better make it 2 hours just to be safe.
So, anyway, I don't know. Is that all we got for the show tonight, guys?
Pretty much. I think the one thing we need to mention is that the team has heard our concerns about facility.
Yeah, just a simple list of things like...
We sent to them, the more porta-potties and better lighting around the porta-potties.
Yeah, they're working on all that.
We may march in differently because of that single-file issue. They're trying to find out a better way for us to march in. Immediately, and this was fairly early Sunday morning, Jeremy was on top of it.
Yeah, just, I got to text him. He's like, hey, man, I'm still working on my hangover. But he's like, give me a list of anything you guys saw that
what can we
need
do
to
better?
Know about.
What can we do right. better? And that's, you know, that's the underlying thing that I really appreciate the most. It's always, what can we do better?
Yeah.
And, you know, let's do better ourselves.
Yeah, and with AC, it was always like, okay, how did we fuck up? What are they going to be bitching about us in the morning meeting for? And, I was waiting for that text, and Jeremy's like, oh, no, you guys did great. You know, nothing wrong from you
Everybody
guys.
Everybody loved you. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
We're just Pavlovian.
So can we get free beer this time? No, you weren't that great.
I don't think we'll ever be that great.
No, that's a good point. But we did run them out of beer, so.
Yeah, so they're working on their improvements. Let's, you know, work on ours too as well. And
yeah, as good as we are, you can always be better. So let's work harder.
I like the smoke, more goals.
Yeah, we need more goals if we want more smoke.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, credit to Darren. He brought
Damon.
Damon, sorry, I did it again. Yep. Son of a bitch.
But Damon is now. I talked to Damon a little bit on Instagram or not Instagram, instant message. And he's now going to be our official smoke master.
Nice.
There was an issue where Matt Miesner was there. He had some smoke bombs. And I knew he had them. And I was like, yeah, you can use them, you know, when we have a goal. Because I made sure they were the right kind. Mm-hmm. And Damon was like, I didn't know who that guy was. And I was like, you know, I should have put you two in charge so you can coordinate that. He was working with Ben Trokey. And they were spread out. And, you know, he's got some ideas. He's read up on how the Seattle Sounders supporters group, BCS, do it. So I'm just unilaterally appointing Damon the smoke master.
But I loved it, too. I don't know if you guys got to see it. He had a bunch of them. I mean, there's probably 8 or 10 of them. And he brought them in an ammo box.
Yeah, the ammo box,
with the SPLFC stickers on the side. It looked cool.
So Damon is now our official smoke master. So if you want to work with that, talk to Damon.
Madden's always
good. Madden's. To be fair, Madden was our original smoke master, and you can't take that away from him. Parking pass 420 belongs to Matt Madden. So, I don't know. That's all I've got. This was just an extra bonus podcast we decided to throw in.
Yep. We'll be doing one at ITAP pretty soon.
Yeah. I'm not saying we'll do it every week, but when we have enough to talk about, we will definitely throw in an extra podcast on a Monday.
Rock and roll. Good times, y'all.
Thank you. As my word shift gear in a flat, wouldn't cast in a session, nothing funny money. Ready to guess how we see by those who are blessed. Me, I gotta try to test.